Well, good morning. Good morning. I want to welcome everybody to our Bridge family, and I want to ask you, if you would, to contemplate a few things with me today in what I pray will be the pursuit of a greater godliness in each of our lives. Let me begin by asking you a question, even before we pray. How many of you have heard, or perhaps paraphrased, Ecclesiastes 4:12, where we're told that a cord of three strands is not easily broken? Let me ask you, if you've ever thought about that, what do you suppose makes this change, this strength in this cord that is not easily broken? I would suggest to you that most will assume, with kind of a knee-jerk response, that, well, of course, it's the three. Three will be much more difficult to break than one. And I would suggest to you, as we get ready to go into God's Word today, that while there is an additional strength to be had in the three versus the one, the real key is the weaving together that enhances and creates this new strength. If you've ever had a cord unravel on you, you know that not only isn't it necessarily strong anymore, it becomes a mess. The strength and the benefit is found in the weaving together. And that's a concept that we'll build on here this morning. I pray that you will be blessed as we see how God continues to weave together his truth and his love to help us better understand and apply his truth and his love. Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord, I come now and I ask you to clear anything and everything out of the way. Starting with me, Lord, let us get our focus on you and you alone. I pray that your Spirit and your Word will refine each one of us. Lord, change our posture here today, I pray, so that each one of us, is prepared to dedicate our lives to bringing you glory, championing your gospel, and living out this life of grace on display. Thank you for saving our souls. May we be your tour guides in this fallen world. May we be your interpreters in this deceiving world. May we be your witness here in the swamp until we get home with you eternally in heaven. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let me remind you by way of context, not only are we going to be weaving together three more truths this morning, but we find ourselves walking through and continuing in a sermon series that we've entitled Gospel Gardening, Roots, Fruits, and Boots. As we said, our express purpose is to get a better understanding, a better biblical understanding of Christ, Christianity, and his church. And if you've not been with us, let me just give you a quick rundown of where we've been. We said that we would use Proverbs 29:18 as our umbrella verse for this entire series. It's that scripture that tells us this truth that informs us, inspects us, and I pray inspires us. Here, God tells us that where there is no prophetic vision, that's what God really says and really means. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. They stop obeying. They stop abiding in. It's the place where "yeah, but" is born and championed. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. They start saying, "yeah, but," the King James says, "and they perish." But by contrast, the verse continues, "blessed are those who uphold, who abide in, who obey the law," otherwise known as the word, the will, and the ways of God. We said this would be the foundation upon which we would build this series to the glory of God. We went on from there and we saw in the next week that Jesus is the Bible's amen. He's the author, the message, the engine, and the nucleus. We walked with Jesus in Luke 24 for about 2 to 2.5 hours, a 7-mile stretch really that's known as the road to Emmaus. And we listened to Jesus on Jesus in the Old Testament. And he made it clear. He said, listen, I'm the Almighty. I'm the Messiah. I'm the evangelist and the necessity of every human being. Well, we've been on that path now. We've seen that some things in the scriptures, they never change. We saw that in the gospel's colossal patterns, there's a great clarity to be had to understand that God is serious. And throughout his word, from cover to cover, he has shown us the relationship between faith and fruit, covenant and consequence, fear, a reverent, healthy fear of God, and being in the very family of God. Well, we're going to continue on that path. And here today, I offer you another perspective. We've seen the old and the new. We've seen the big and the small. We said that as we dig into the roots, we would look for the patterns, the promises, and the presence of Christ in the Old Testament. And we've done it a number of ways. Well, today I want to open up another facet by showing you, I pray, before leaving Genesis, that in every single realm, these patterns of the Prince of Peace, the person of King Jesus, are on display to help us better understand Christ, Christianity, and his church. And so today, I hope to take you to a place where we weave together three strands into one cord of truth and love. Again, the colossal gospel pattern that says Jesus is Lord, that his church is who he has chosen to use to bring his glory, his grace, and his gospel to the world. I've entitled our message for today, and hear this. Again, it's the three strands: awesome, average, and abstract types or patterns. You and I will see again Christ, Christianity, and the church before we leave Genesis in the awesome, the average, and the abstract examples that are on display. Again, for the express purpose of changing us. I pray today that you'll not only see yet again God's truth and love on display, but that each one of us here will come to understand why this is so important, and hear me, and how to be this example. It's all by God's grace. This is the essence of the gospel. So if I were to put this all together into a big idea, a single timeless truth, here it is, and I pray you take this away, that God's word, God's will, and God's ways in every part and pattern in the scriptures have been given to us for the express purpose of making disciples who will exalt Christ and exhort the church to go and be his people in the full context of what he has said. Now, I need to tell you on the front side here, I'm going to break every marketing rule that you can think of as I deliver to you this miraculous message. And I tell you that because it's important that you understand that we do not seek to appeal to men. We do not seek to attract men. We do not seek to affirm men with things of this world. We do, however, and I pray this fervently every day, we pray that we will appeal to those who are responding to the Lord, that we will attract those that are hearing the call to repent and believe, and that we will affirm every single soul that has chosen to see, submit, and to surrender to victory in Jesus the Christ. Now, if you choose to see, take, and crash and burn, all we have to offer you is a pathway of repentance and restoration. But our prayer is that every single person will hear truth and love in a way that becomes clear, that the Lord himself will awaken, quicken your heart, give eyes, sight spiritually, ears, the ability to hear spiritually, hearts, the ability to beat spiritually. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. It's about the Messiah and his message, not marketing and a massage. I pray to God that you and I will hear and see this. Now, we're going to begin with Noah's Ark. We're going to begin with the awesome Ark. We'll move on from there, and we'll look at the average Abraham. And before we're done, we'll go into the abstract, and we'll look at abstract access to Christ and all of God's greatest blessings. So let's go into number one, the awesome ark. And let me ask you to, by way of beginning, what do you think of when I say Noah's ark? I wonder if, like many, if not most, you think of a cute child story. You think of what might look like it belongs in a coloring book. Maybe you have this pattern in your mind of this peculiar picture of animals walking side by side. Maybe it brings to mind the story of a flood. Maybe even the story of faith. Well, my prayer is that you and I will understand that we need to get to the biblical basics. That when we see the ark, when we think about Noah and the flood, I pray that you see an awesome display of yet again the colossal gospel's pattern. That God is showing us God himself. God is showing us his plan of redemption. God is showing us his love through his truth. And here's the thing. If you and I don't get it, if we don't get these biblical basics, we're not going to see it. So if we don't get it, we won't see it. If we don't see it, we won't understand it. If we don't understand it, we can't possibly apply it. If we're not applying it, we're not living it, and we're certainly not sharing it. That's why it's so important to come back and take the time to see these awesome biblical basics. Now, I told you I'm going to break all the marketing rules. Here's one of the ways that I break the rules. I invest significant time and energy telling you things that you don't think you need to know. I invest significant time and energy taking you to places that you probably don't want to go. But here's the thing. If you understand the importance of this three-stranded cord being woven together, the awesome, the average, and the abstract, in its ability to show us Christ, Christianity, and the church, then my prayer is you'll say, listen, I don't need a massage or the marketing. Praise God for the miraculous and the message that truly comes from the Messiah. Let me show you what I mean, and I pray that you don't tune out, but rather that you lean in. Because I promise you, what I'm about to show you is something that is rich, rich in nutrients. And it can and will help to build you and bless you as you come to get a better understanding of part of the awesome types in God's Word. Watch this, and then we'll come back and we'll build on this.
Hey, kids. Do you know your ABCs? Let me tell you a story about Jesus Christ and His glory. Gather around, everybody.
A is for awesome, our God, the one and three. Father, Son, and Spirit, blessed Trinity. B is for beautiful, the world that He has made. Creatures great and small, oceans blue and shade. C is for colorful, the skin of you and me. We're made in this image, as happy as could be. But D is for deceitful, the serpent spoke his lie. Adam and Eve ate the fruit, began to die. From A to Z, it's a story. All for Jesus and His glory. From A to Z, it's a story. All for Jesus and His glory. He is for evil, our hearts became like stones. Sin seeped in so deeply, right down to our bones. Now F is for fall, we fell and fell so hard. It left us weak and dying, full of many scars. G is for gloomy, however could we cope? With darkness all around us, it seemed there was no hope. Cause H is for holy, God is pure and true. If He is good and we are not, whatever will we do? From A to Z, it's a story. All for Jesus and His glory. From A to Z, it's a story. All for Jesus and His glory. I is for in incarnation, God became a man, even before the fall. This is what he had planned. J is for justice, Christ came to satisfy all of God's commandments and us to purify. K is for kingdom, God's reign upon the earth. We must become like children, and in him have new birth. L is for love, just look to Calvary. Jesus gave his life, we would be made free. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. M is for mercy, compassion God has shown. In Christ we are forgiven, come before the throne. N is for narrow, the road is rough and steep. You are those who find it and on its pathway keep. Cause O is for one, our Jesus is the way. We'll follow him no matter what the people say. P is for promise, our God his word is sure. He never will forsake us, so we'll fast endure. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. Q is for quickly, we must not delay to repent and believe and have new life today. R is for restoration, all will be made right. Heaven and earth made one, shining oh so bright. S is for shalom, all will be at peace. No more need for fences, fighting or police. T is for transformation, all will be made new. Bodies resurrected, hearts made good and true. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. U is for unity, will no more be apart from God and one another with purity of heart. For victory, King Jesus, he is won. We'll shout his praise forever, forever it is done. W is for wonder, we'll all be so amazed. God will show his power, we will sing his praise. X is for excellencies, we'll proclaim them there. Heaven will be his presence, his beauty will declare. Yeah, Y is for yearning, we're not yet to our home. Still eagerly we wait, longing for shalom. Z is for Zion, the city where we'll see Father, Son, and Spirit, blessed Trinity. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory. From A to Z, it's a story all for Jesus and his glory.
All right, so I pray that sinks in. Again, I know I'm breaking the marketing rules. You're not supposed to take people where they don't want to go, and you're not supposed to share things with them that they think they already know. But let me tell you, that is rich and full of truth and love, and it would bless you and me to learn that song and to be able to share it with others. Now, let me give you some biblical context here again for why I'm doing this. Our text for today that serves as our umbrella is Matthew 5, verse 39. Jesus speaking, he says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And yet it is they, the scriptures, that bear witness or testify about me." Again, everything that we do is about him. All of scripture is for him. And the awesome account of the ark is to help you and me to see him, to understand him, to represent him. Let me show you what I mean. And again, let me remind you that my goal here, my hope is to help heighten your holy desire to be in God's word, to understand it, that you will grow in your confidence in God's word, as well as your curiosity about God's word. And in so doing, you're drawn in to him. He is the word. Now, with that said, let me just point to you, and I'm not going to do an exhaustive study here with the ark or Abraham or even the abstract example. My goal is to take that cord of three strands and weave it together so that your confidence and your curiosity are both heightened, that you become more like Christ and you are drawn to his word, his will, and his way, that you are submitting to his word, his will, and his way, that you are truly surrendering to his word, his will, and his way. That's why we have the scriptures here. That's why everything is here. It's to draw us closer to him, make us more like him, and to walk in faithful obedience for him as well. Think about the ark. Here's just a portrait of awesome. Okay? Think about the ark. It was made to exacting specific specifications, just like the life of Adam and Eve in the garden had very specific. We're going to get to a traveling tabernacle, and you're going to see some very exacting and specific conditions and standards and specifications, just like you'll see in the temple, both of them. And you come to understand that this is a pattern, that God is very exacting with his specifications, just like he is in the life of a believer, just like he is with the invitation of the good news. That it is very specific. You can't change it. You can't edit it. You can't soften it because you think it's too hard. You can't harden it because you think it's too soft. In the ark, we see a very specific pattern. Think about Noah and just his part here. We see a righteous man in a rotten world. We're told in Genesis 6:5 that this is who he is. We're told in the New Testament in 2 Peter 2 and 2 Peter 3 that he's a righteous preacher of God's word, and that the flood, while it's a forewarning, a pattern of God's judgment and wrath, it's also, per 2 Peter 3, it's a warning. So here again, we see God doing what he's done over and over and over again. He's putting an awesome display of truth and love as he calls us to worship, and he shares the warning that says, if you're not really my witness, you're not going to like how this turns out. And he's got a patience that is truly awe-inspiring. Let's continue. When you think about the ark, see the ark as a true type, a pattern of Christ. It's in the ark where the people are safe. If you're in the ark as akin to being in Christ, this is where you are safe in a dying world. It's the place of refuge. It's the only place of refuge. This is the ark pointing us to Christ. You come to see that this is where the truly faithful fellowship with fellow faithful followers. This is where the family is. And here again, now you can look at the ark and you can see in the ark a type, that Noah's family is a type, a pattern of the church. Here again, you have an ark with only one door, only one way in. His name is Jesus. He is the door. You have a gathering of people who only get to be a people if they are chosen by God, drawn by God, graced by God, saved by God, gathered together by God. And this group of people will be the hope of the world on the other side of sin. I pray that you see not just Christ in the ark, but you see the pattern of Christianity and the very church that Christ died to give life to. Notice this too, when you read it very carefully, you'll see not only in Noah and his family, but again for all of us, Noah's family is the remnant. Noah's family is what has become the ongoing and growing church that you'll find when you read the account carefully. Not only is there one door, but Noah leads the way in. Noah doesn't say, you go. Noah says, follow me. Just as Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Just as Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I pray that you see the miraculous here as well, the beautiful portrait. Do you ever ask yourself, how did all those animals get in the ark? If Noah was building that big boat, didn't he have to do a whole lot of work to get the animal? He did a lot of work, but God brought the animals. John 6:44, Jesus speaking, no one comes to me unless the Father draws them. Not a single animal went into that ark unless the Lord brought it. I pray you and I see this. And we recognize that if we don't learn these basic ABCs, we're apt to make the same mistake as those who were not in the ark. We tend to marginalize and write off God's standards. We tend to say, well, it's not that big a deal. And we begin to compromise and rationalize. Now, I want to share with you something. Here's a curveball. I'm going to share with you a video that is not a church. It is not something that you and I would say has a steeple on it. But you watch. It becomes an example of what will happen if and when we lose understanding and appreciation for the foundations of our faith, the truth and the love, the standards. Those standards that may call you and me to repent, they may actually rebuke us, but praise God, it's because God loves us, and these are the ways that he expresses his love. When he says no, it's not no, I hate you, it's no, I love you, and that will hurt you. I want to show you what will happen when the church stops surrendering to the awesomeness of our God, demonstrated through his ark. Watch this, and I plead with you to please read the captions. Read the captions, and I'll explain more here in just a minute.
Coming to this event has really committed me to say, you know what? You don't have to settle.
Getting back the spark in my life that my sister says has been missing for like 3 years.
It's absolutely life-changing.
Has to happen. It's been transformational.
You want to change your results? This is where you do it. This is how you do it.
There is a humanity that occurs at an event like this that you just can't get by yourself.
What we're going to learn here these next few days is what controls every thought, every feeling, every emotion of your life. So we're going to discover who we really are. I'm going to give you processes that if you play full out, if you're really honest with yourself, you'll really know what's really real versus what's conditioned in you that maybe you've gone on for years. This program's not about changing you. This is about know thyself. There's know thyself and then there's be thyself. And once you know who you are, being yourself is actually the easiest thing in the world.
Everything you said just resonated so deeply with me. I think it must have already been inside of me, but take that on and have it change my life for the better.
This technique that Tony has, smart, practical way to literally set those fears aside. That on the one hand, and then also the rewiring of your brain and the conditions and your beliefs. That to me is that unleashing the power within.
Coming actually here to have that many people focused on one intent, super powerful, it's rocket fuel.
For Tony, he's just passionate about sharing that with everybody and making sure that everyone reaches their potential.
Him as a person is timeless. He kind of spans all age groups because loving yourself isn't dependent on how old you are.
This is a mindset and this is a shift that you're doing for you, because I've realized you can't be good for other people if you're not good for yourself.
So just being here has really, like, you know, woke me up again. And what more could I achieve? How far could I reach?
It gives you this feeling of that you can do anything. You know, you're unstoppable.
I pray that now makes sense. That you see that if and when we choose to ignore the ABCs of Christianity, we are likely to fall prey to the ear-tickling of heresies. And that when a church, or the church, sadly, begins to act like this, they will one day likely be replaced by this. That's why it's so important that you and I rely on the miraculous and not on the marketing. That you and I be those who say we have an awesome God and an awesome gospel. His word, His will, His ways, not that of the world. I say to you with all the love in my heart, beware the shows and the showmen who replace the sermons and the shepherds. Beware the church's shows and showmen who are replacing those sermons and shepherds in Christ. This is such a dire need. It's part of what we see again over and over and over again. I just give you some takeaways from the awesome ark that are directly in line with our way of living, our lives, our call. That you and I will come to recognize that the Lord is doing in us today exactly what He was doing from the beginning. He's calling you and me to recognize that all of what He's doing is grace. All of it. Let me just summarize it this way. If, like Noah, you are being persecuted and mocked, take it, no matter what. Let us demonstrate a radical commitment to God's word. Let us be those who will. Ignore the mocking before the flood, while never forgetting the screams that came after the flood. May we be ready and fluid, flexible, and hardworking, all to the glory of our God. Now, if we were to jump in and go ahead now to Genesis 22, what we find here is the average Abraham. And again, let me just go through this quickly. It's not exhaustive. We've covered Abraham and the covenants last week. Let's look at Abraham and Isaac. And here I want you to see the average Abraham. That you and I, we can find ourselves in this account. Abraham, he doesn't come from great stock. He comes from a pagan family. He sins greatly on his journey. Greatly. He's another man, hear me, Abraham. He's saved by grace through faith as he repents and believes in the one true living God. That's you and me, friend. If you're a Christian, we've come down the exact same road. We've come down the exact same road. You know, when you think about Isaac, if you know the account, Abraham waited 25 years for this child of promise, this miraculously delivered child, the child that points us again to Christ. Do you know that Isaac was 33 years old when sacrificed? Do you know that the mountain on which that took place is the same mountain upon which the cross of Christ was planted? Do you know that on the day of the sacrifice, Abraham says to those around him, I've gotten up early and I'm excited to get up there because we're going to come back down here. And this is what we're told in the New Testament. Abraham went up and was willing to sacrifice Isaac by faith because he knew that God would fulfill his promise. So here we have somebody who's excited about a resurrection, somebody who has faith in a resurrection to come. Again, you and I see, here's an average guy. In many ways, I mean, Abraham sacrificed his wife twice to save his hide. Now, with all due respect to our brother, he's a slug like the rest of us. He's a sinner from the swamp who got saved by grace, and praise God, demonstrated that grace at times by putting on display a faith that was not perfect, but it was passionate. This is the story of every average Christian. I pray that you see this. And again, so it's not just in the awesome accounts, it's in the average accounts. What made Abraham so good? God made Abraham good. Grace made Abraham good. The principles of the gospel made Abraham. Any good that we see, it comes from him. He's a man who was knocked down, stumbled, fell, and was picked up by grace. This is the average account, and I pray that it's your story too. I want to share with you a song that preaches, And again, it brings to us an understanding that, look, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your history, your family tree. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. The grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater. And that if you will see, submit, surrender, if you will be truly transformed by his amazing grace, no matter what's going on, no matter how wicked the world may be, no matter how many snakes may be slithering around you, no matter how many bite marks from the wolves, no matter if there's a thief in your temple, you can rise again to the glory of God. That's why we incorporate all of these, not just the awesome, but also the average. I pray this song will bless you as it helps to tell this story of God's gospel and grace.
Love come quick, love come in a hurry. There are thieves in the temple tonight. They don't care where they kick, just as long as they hurt you. There are thieves in the temple. My belief took me piece by piece till my faith was all but gone. And I've been down so far that I couldn't get up, but face down in the dirt, I heard the voice of love saying, do not fear, it won't be here for long. I will rise again, I will rise again. I believe that I had to break so love could make me whole. Stronger in the end, I believe in a brand new day, a love that saves, so I can say I will rise again. I'm not who I was, you won't recognize me. Love came down and redefined me, piece by piece put me back together differently. Until the perfect plan try to bring me down has been put to shame, it's been turned around. As I come so alive that death is afraid of me, I will rise again, I will rise again. I believe that I had to break so love could make me whole. I will rise again, stronger in the end. I believe in a brand new day, a love. I believe that I had to break so love could make me whole.
Well, my prayer is that, again, that you see God is teaching us, whether it's directly from the Word or if it's from a song, it's truth and love that's designed to help to shape our hearts. When you think of Abraham and Isaac, again, pointing ahead, I pray that you and I will never forget the power, the grace that it is to be chosen and forgiven. And note this, with Isaac, if you read the account carefully, he carried his own wood up the mountain. You know, it's again pointing us to Christ carrying his cross. And last week we talked about the blessing that it is to be set free by carrying your tree. That if you'll carry your cross daily and follow Christ, he will lead you and he will bless you. Not only do you and I need to carry our own wood up our own mountain, everyone who does, per the promise of our Lord, will be blessed eternal. Now, let's move on and take some time here to just look briefly at the abstract. If we are weaving together this cord of three strands, we've seen the awesome ark. I pray you see now and relate to the average Abraham. Let's close out our time by looking at and talking about the abstract access. That if you go to Genesis 28, and again here, we're building on John 5. I think I said Matthew 5 earlier. We're building on John 5 where we see it's the scriptures that point us to Christ. If you go to Genesis 28, you'll see what some know as the passage of Jacob's ladder. Let's take the time we have left and let's just touch on this ladder and see access to the heavenlies, to our Father in heaven, through and on and in this ladder, the abstract access. You'll find here that in Genesis 28, and specifically verse 12 and verse 17, it's pregnant with patterns that point us to the person of Christ, to understand Christianity in the church today, even though we're talking about way back in the first book of the Bible. You see, here we see Jacob having a dream, and what we're told is that this ladder, it's showing angels going up and down from heaven. And you say, well, Pastor Jeff, where and how does this tie in? Well, if you read John 1, verse 51, what you'll find is that there is a direct connection between Jacob's ladder and yours and my Lord. Jacob's ladder, Jesus our Lord. It's in verse 51 of John 1 that it says to us, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He is this ladder. But friends, it's even more than that, and I pray you'll be blessed here in the abstract. If you read John 12, 32 and 33, basically what you find is that there is now a description of the cross and the crucifixion of Christ being that means by which there is a connection now to heaven. The cross is seen in the pattern of this ladder. So the ladder shows us a pattern of Christ. The ladder shows us a pattern of the cross. And thirdly, the ladder shows us a pattern of the church. You say, Pastor Jeff, how can that be? Well, when you read 1 Timothy 3:15, this is what you'll find. Echoing verse 17 of Genesis 28. In fact, let me read Genesis 28, 17. He was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is, Jacob here. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This place, this ladder's place, this is the house of God and the gate of heaven. What do you suppose 1 Timothy 3:15 says about the house of God? Quote, the house of God is the church of the living God. Friends, we are the ladder. You see here a type, a pattern. You see Christ in the ladder. You see his cross in the ladder, making that way that connects man and God through the cross alone. You see the church, the children of God, in this ladder. I pray, when you see it closely, and again, the scripture says that angels are ascending up and down. Do you know that that word for angels in the original Hebrew, it's malach. Malach can also be translated not just angel, but messenger. And get ready, ambassador. You want to know who's going up and down the ladder? going up to God and his truth and bringing down his truth and his love to the people? It's the messengers, the ambassadors. And you know this, Bridge family. It's 2 Corinthians 5:20 that says you and I, we are ambassadors of Christ if we are in Christ. Back up two verses and you see we have the ministry. We've been called to be ministers of reconciliation. That's what the up and down is all about. We're bringing God glory by carrying his gospel and demonstrating his grace. As you and I live and love as ladders. Oh, I pray that you see again this strand of three cords will not be easily broken. The awesome, the average, and even the abstract is here that we would bring God glory. Now, let me tell you something that's a little challenging. This process of going up and down the ladder, it's in the active, present, and future tense. That means we're to live this out all the time. This is the call. This is the Great Commission. This is the Great Commission on display for God's glory and by his grace. Let me again take you to Ezekiel. We sang about Ezekiel this morning. Ezekiel 33:7, and see again, this is on display. As for you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me. Again, I said to you last week, one of the colossal gospel patterns. You see faith that bears fruit. You see the covenant, if broken, which will bring consequences. You see the healthy fear of God that exemplifies what it is to be in the family of God. Here it is. Come up the ladder to truth and love. Go down the ladder to deliver truth and love. God says, what I've poured into you is so that you'll pour it out to the world, locally, regionally, and globally. It's Acts 1:8 in action. It's the making of disciples while supernaturally loving one another, sharing that togetherness in a single passion, purpose, and promise, that you'll have a riotous passion in this purpose and promise, and that you'll display the power of Almighty God. All of this being done in and through the Spirit for which it has been given to you so that you could be that witness. May we live and love as ladders of our Lord. New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but rather to please God, who examines our hearts. Friends, all of this, it's designed to bring God glory by putting us out into the world as his ambassadors, living and loving as portable ladders of truth and love. Now, the fact that this is a perpetual promise and a perpetual command and commission, no doubt it's meeting some of us right now with a place of some conviction. Let me just encourage you again. Cry out to Jesus. See him. He's not just the one who upholds the standards. He's the one that lowers salvation down for you and me by grace through faith. Repent and believe. Be restored and redeemed. This is good news that we carry. If you find yourself today in a place of conviction, I again want to share with you just for a few minutes a song, Oh God, Forgive Us. May we find our peace and our joy, our restoration in the single path, the single door of repentance and belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praying the prayer with no reply. Words float off into the night. Couldn't cut our time with the sharpest knife. Oh, God, forgive us. Silence isn't comfortable. Won't drive through peace and instant hope. Our shallow faith, it has left us broke. God won't give us.
God, forgive us. Repentance and belief, per God's word, God's will, and God's way. I pray that you see the truth and the love, the colossal gospel pattern that never changes, and that this is good news. I call you, friend, to come to the ark. I call you to acknowledge, yes, there's only one door. There's only one way in. But I promise you by faith that the flood is coming. And I call you into the ark. I call you, friend, to Mount Moriah. I tell you, yes, you will have to carry your own wood. And yes, there is a sacrifice to be had. But listen, if you will, by the grace of God, submit, surrender to Christ, what you'll find is he will provide the substitute. You know, the only significant difference, if you look at this account between Isaac and Christ, is that the sacrifice went all the way through with Jesus. I call you to carry your wood, to find your peace, your joy, and your freedom in that pursuit. Whether it's the awesomeness of a flood that you're overwhelmed by or the average call of everyday life, acknowledging that you've stumbled, sometimes badly, sometimes repeatedly, there's an average account of the gospel of grace that says, come. Come on up the mountain. I call you, friend, to be a ladder. And to understand this, that while it may be convicting to acknowledge that I'm not doing so great on that active present future tense there, know that if you will with passion say, yes, Lord, that there is joy unspeakable waiting for you. I must point out that just a little further as we go up the Bible storyline, what you'll find is this Jacob, who this account centers around, would not long after begin to wrestle with God. And I warn you not to wrestle with God, to submit and to surrender. Friend, I pray that you will see that there is a colossal gospel pattern that never changes. It's in the old, it's in the new, it's in the big, it's in the small, it's in the back then to right now to until Christ returns. It never changes. In the awesome, in the average, and in the abstract, It's all about Jesus. It's all about his gospel of grace that brings him glory. I pray that you and I will never be the same. And for anybody here today who says, I'm not so sure if that's heavy or helpful, I promise it's helpful and it's hope-filled. If you feel convicted, don't write it off. Submit and surrender. Be set free. Surrender to victory in Jesus the Christ. I'm going to pray and then leave us with one more song that's designed to help you to marinate in this message. It again breaks all the marketing rules, but I promise you it brings a miraculous message from the Messiah. Lord, use your word here today through your spirit amongst your people, and it's my fervent prayer that there'll be some adopted, some eternally adopted into the family through this truth and love today. Help us to bring you more glory every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.